In thinking about the story of Joseph this morning, my attention immediately went to what I see as a central problem in this text, the central issue facing this community, this small family which serves as a microcosmos, a little world for us to step into this morning. And to think about that central problem that I see in the text, I have to go to one of my favorite theologians, Origen of Alexandria, who said the big problem of humanity is attention. Humanity, our communities, us this morning, we're susceptible to distraction. We're susceptible to focusing on the wrong things or not properly orienting ourselves to God. And therefore, we come this morning to a community full of strife, full of problems, and full of issues. When we dig into what causes the problem, we first notice that the issue begins with the brothers' jealousy towards Joseph. Now, what did Joseph do to spur on this jealousy? Well, actually, the initial issue had nothing to do with Joseph at all. It had to do with Israel, Jacob, his father. His father loved him more than the others and made him a coat, a jacket, that the others ostensibly did not have. This coat established a special status upon Joseph. It lifted him up from the others. It disturbed the power dynamic. It made the relationships unequal, made it uncomfortable, and it disrupted the relationship between the other brothers and Israel, Jacob. Now you might say, hey, this is Israel's fault. This is Jacob's fault. He showed favoritism for Joseph. From a modern parenting perspective, that's not good parenting. That's questionable. I think all of us who have siblings would understand the initial tension there. It's not hard to imagine why someone might be angry when the father singles out one brother, gives him a special coat, and establishes him as his favorite. But when I think more about the text and I read into what it says, the text does offer an explanation. It says because Jacob had Joseph in his old age. The reason Jacob establishes something special about Joseph has to do with Jacob and God. Has to do with something contextually beyond the relationships between each of them, each of the brothers and Jacob. And so the brothers have a distorted view. They see this as personal. They see this as a disruption of their own relationship, but the text never says that Jacob treats them poorly. It never says the father abuses the other brothers because of his love of Joseph. It just says there's a special relationship between Joseph and Jacob. It doesn't say he hated the rest. So the relationship between the brothers and Jacob could still have been strong. There was still a chance that they could have still had a great relationship, but no, the brothers were jealous. No, the brothers would not let this pass. The brothers were focused and attentive to what they had, to what was good for them, and were unable to see what God was doing. They were blinded by love of self, by pursuit of self-interest. And then the story goes on further. And then we hear that Joseph has dreamed dreams. What a great sin it was in this story to dream dreams, for dreaming those dreams got Joseph almost killed, got him beaten, got him thrown into a well, got him sold into slavery. Without the help of God, Joseph certainly would have lived a horrible existence. But because of the grace of God, he is placed with Potiphar. He is blessed immensely. God turns a misfortune, human error, human distraction into something amazing despite human failures. So Joseph dreams dreams. And we don't hear who those dreams are from, but there's no reason in the story to assume they weren't from God. So Joseph dreamed a dream from God. And this dream got him in trouble. Doesn't that make it God's fault? God gave him a dream that made him superior to all of his other brothers. Joseph was framed. Joseph was set up for failure here. Because the dream, I assume the dream didn't come with it. And Joseph, don't tell this to anybody. What was the point of the dream if he wasn't supposed to tell anybody? What was the point of the vision if he wasn't supposed to share? If one of us in this congregation today receives a direct communication from God, I assume that in most congregations we want that shared. What an amazing gift you've been given. What an amazing interaction. Look how close you've come to God. How miraculous, how amazing, how wonderful it is to be in the presence of God. But that isn't the reaction here. The reaction here, I mean, I can just imagine the brothers talking with God, thinking about God, and think, amazing how wonderful and all-powerful God is, yes. How just God is, yes. But Joseph's the favorite, no. No, that's too far. We're not sure what God's doing there. Our relationship with God only goes so far. We won't go further because God's making a mistake. God's being unjust. God is doing something with Joseph that is wrong. It must not be God. Again, the brothers, the community, fails to see beyond self. What they don't know is that this vision of Joseph only occurs after brutal beatings, after separation from his family. Would Joseph have chosen, if he'd known, would he have chosen to go down the path he went? I doubt it. But God almost never gives us that kind of a choice because God's plan and involvement in us is greater than we can see. It's the point of faith. It's greater than anything that we can imagine. What I see in this text is an issue that goes all the way to the beginning of Genesis, an issue of a choice between two ways, really. I think every problem in Genesis, every mistake of man comes about because man cannot simultaneously focus on the ways of the world at the same time focusing on the ways of God. There is a distinction between the two. And whenever we're so focused on the ways of the world that it's impossible to have sight of the ways of God. Now, in pursuing the ways of God, you might be thinking, wait a minute, does that mean we disenfranchise the world? We toss out the world? What about the problems of the world? What about social justice? What about the many problems and economic inequality and all these things that burn so closely to us, which Jesus was about? I say, in each story we receive in Genesis, there was another way to proceed. That in focusing on the way of the world, in paying attention to God, in reorienting ourselves from focusing on what we are to focusing on what the community can be, to focusing on what God can do through us, there could have been a better, a different outcome. There could have been something more incredible. And when we do this thing, when we move in this direction, when we reorient ourselves, we'll have a whole new perspective on what's happening in the ways of the world. And we'll have a whole new perspective on how we can affect that. This week has been a very trying week in America. So many things have happened which are causing disruptions in community. We are all made in God's image, and yet whole sections of our community don't feel like they're being treated with justice. Whole swaths of people of color in America in our community, they don't feel like they're being loved and treated as if they are made in the image of God. And so I look at the story of Joseph this morning and see an opportunity, a warning for us to an invitation to reorient ourselves and then look and get involved in and love with our community and make us whole as a beloved community again. My last point this morning comes in the fact that we have a warning, we have a problem, an issue to avoid that comes in the last chapter 50 of the story. Because everything turns out okay at the end, because God is able to do something amazing out of the mistakes of man, the temptation is for us to look at that and say, "It all worked out fine. God will fix our mistakes. We don't have a problem." And it stalls our progress. Friends, we are invited to take steps and steps and steps closer to the Almighty to fill us and to change us. When we just expect God to clean up the mess, we circumvent our own progress. We stop taking steps. Friends, we have an invitation to come closer, to walk with. Let's do so. Let's do so in love. Would you pray with me? God, we come to you this morning wanting to be just a little closer. Our world comes to you in times of difficulty, knowing that if we'd only paid attention to you from the start, we wouldn't have been in this mess. Forgive us. Let us try again. Let us try anew. Let us not be discouraged by our failures. Let us reimagine who we can be as a beloved community. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.